If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. So good to see each of you here tonight. Appreciate so much your presence. As Steve has already said, we have visitors. Thank you so much for being here. And certainly, if you're not a member of the body of Jesus Christ, we're so very, very happy for your presence. And we hope that you brought your Bibles. Hope you'll open them and study with us from the Word of God. And certainly, if you have any questions whatsoever about anything we might do or say here, especially anything that I might say from as teaching the Word of God, we're more than happy to sit down and talk to you about those things. But we're really glad that you're here. Appreciate the members that are here. Appreciate so very, very much the opportunity to be with you. The days are filled pretty much with either preaching, eating, or sleeping. And I guess I'm in trouble with the local chapter of the Preachers Union. I rushed out of the house so quick this afternoon, I forgot my jacket. And Steve is the local president, and I'm not sure. I think he's going to be charging me something. But anyway, you will just have to bear with that. I appreciate all the prayers. Maybe some of you are going to have to start doubling up on that. Let him have a ready remembrance. That would help me maybe a little bit more. But I'm thankful to be here. I appreciate so much, and I am humbled by the responsibility of preaching and teaching God's Word. It is a tremendous responsibility for all of us to hear God's Word. And let me say that all of you have been very, very encouraging and making a preacher want to preach, and I appreciate that so very, very much. Appreciate the young people. Got a chance to be with a number of the young men today and eat lunch with them and to have a Bible study with them. That was so encouraging. And just so many of you are just wonderful people who love the Lord, and I appreciate the opportunity to get to be with you in these few days. We've been stressing in the evening lessons about the importance of continually to search and to keep our minds on heavenly things, seeking the things above, and trying to, as best I can, to talk about things that are practical, that you can take home with you and put into practice, how we live our lives on a daily basis. And I hope and pray that we're able to do that and it's helpful to you. Tonight I want to talk to us about commitment. And I think that when we talk about seeking the things above, there is within that concept the essentiality of truly being committed to the service of Jesus Christ. Keeping on keeping on. Being consistent. Each year, at the beginning of the year, most preachers will preach a New Year's resolution kind of sermon. I do that myself. But I want to suggest to us that daily devotion is much better than yearly resolution. And if we're going to keep seeking the things above, we have to learn to get into the mode of thinking that it's daily devotion that we're talking about. It's daily commitment is what God requires. So having said that, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And the way that I've chosen for us to talk about that this evening, we're going to be looking at a number of passages of Scripture that the Apostle Paul penned by verbal inspiration. And as you well know, most of the teachings of the Apostle Paul are in the form of commands to be obeyed, or in some principle to be followed. And occasionally, when you read his epistles, we get this little small window that the Holy Spirit allows us to look and to see and learn something about the man, the Apostle Paul. And as we look and we learn a little bit about this man, we are ashamed. We're awestruck. Because we learn that how could a man be that dedicated? And besides Jesus Christ himself, the Apostle Paul stands out in history as one of the most dedicated men to the service of Jesus Christ that ever walked on the earth. We are awestruck that a mere human being could be that dedicated. We're ashamed that we fall so far short of that standard ourselves. So, what I want to do, I want to look at some passages with you tonight that he has penned to help encourage us to commitment. Let's begin by looking at the idea of total commitment. Those are some powerful words. Total commitment. And if you break it down just a little bit, the idea of a commitment is a promise. It's a responsibility. It's a resolution. It's a duty. It's dedication. And we know people who, whatever it might be, are really dedicated to something. Like a mother is to a child. That's dedication. Commitment. And we talk about the word total, that's complete, that's absolute, that's entire, that's all. So when you take these synonyms and you think about our relationship with Jesus Christ, we think about our service to Jesus Christ. And what we're wanting to talk about and think about, if we are truly seeking the things above, if we're keeping on keeping on, as the text suggests, then that suggests our commitment. We're all in. And I think all of us readily recognize people that call themselves Christians that are all in. And those, well, it's just kind of a part-time thing. It's pretty easy to distinguish the two. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm unto the end. This passage suggests to us significantly that our relationship with Christ is dependent upon our keeping on keeping on. So Colossians 3 is not the only text. There doesn't need to be any more. But there are many other passages that suggest that kind of commitment to Christ. So, what we hope to be able to do tonight is we talk about this, what it really means to be dedicated or completely or totally committed to the service of Jesus Christ. We want this to be very practical in its application. What does that mean? I want you to think about yourself. As we go through this, I want you to look at self. I'm going to look at me. You look at you. And are we really seeking the things above? Totally committed. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul says, I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Now, when I look at that passage, obviously, we need to be willing to admit sin in our lives. Now, this particular letter to Timothy, the young evangelist, was written several years after Paul had become a Christian. But there is a sense in which, in this text, he doesn't forget where he came from. I believe Paul preaches and teaches throughout the epistles that he was forgiven. But he said, I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. I think it's important for us when we are totally committed to the service of Jesus Christ, we're continually seeking those things above, we never forget where we came from, what we were, how much God has forgiven us. We've been looking at this section of Scripture in the morning classes about our daily walk with God. And I want to read a couple of verses past where we're talking verses 5 through 7. And look at 8 through 10. And notice what John says. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins, forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We know as children of God that when we become disciples of Jesus Christ, we're dedicated to his service. That doesn't mean that we never sin again. Doesn't mean that we've never sinned in the past. We have to continually be humble to understand who we are. I think this is a window into Paul's life, that even as an apostle, he remembers where he came from, what he was. What does that produce? Such a thankfulness. Such a gratefulness to God about what he has done for us. Let me tell you, a thankful, grateful servant is a hard worker, dedicated, because he is that. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I've preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. We must be willing to discipline ourselves. It took me a while to figure out that that did not read buffet. It's buffet. Okay? I was disappointed when I read. To beat black and blue. What is he talking about? It's not that we're to be masochistic in some way. He's talking about the idea that we bring the flesh into subjection. Paul says it's important for us to understand that we have to say no to self. We have to discipline ourselves. I know Brother Steve probably has the same kind of problem when you go and you preach in gospel meetings and you go into brethren's homes and they present their best and their most goodest and greatest and most fattenest and, you know, all of that stuff. And, you know, you can't go in there and just, you know, nibble around a little bit, you know, because you're going to make the sister just really upset because she's been working days and days and days and days and days for this one, you know, 20-minute meal that this preacher is going to eat. So, you need to eat. Well, that's never been a problem for me to eat. I mean, I go there and eat, and I really want to eat because these sisters can really, 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 really put on the deal here, and it's really, really good, okay? But what I have to say is, no, I have to back up. I have to control myself, or else I'm going to make it a buffet. And I'm going to eat way too much. And I'm going to get up here and I'm going to have to preach a couple of hours just to walk this off, you know, walk it off. But sincerely, if we're truly dedicated to the service of Jesus Christ, we got to learn to discipline ourselves. and to say no. Now, just to bring back to our memory just a bit Sunday morning when we were trying to dissect the Colossians 3 passage. It's important for us to understand that that passage also is about our priorities. And maybe we can work the extra hours. Maybe we can be gone from our families an extra amount of time. Maybe we can do things that are not really promoting spirituality. And we have to take a real serious look at our own selves and say, is this really what I need to be doing? Well, this is what I want to do, but what do I need to do? What should I do? Hopefully we want every opportunity we can to be able to grow our faith, to mature our lives into the imagery of Jesus Christ. So in that whole process, there has to be the ability for us to watch ourselves, say no, and to be able to be in control of our own self. We need to control the flesh, not the flesh control us. And that's a struggle. But here is a sign, here's this window of here's the man, Paul, who had said, he said, I buffet my body, I beat it black and blue, lest I ultimately fail the test. Are you getting a little bit of a picture about what dedication is? Notice another passage with me, if you will. Notice that he says, I count all things to be loss in view of surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. We must be willing to give it up. Give up what? Everything. Now, if I understand the apostle, before he was an apostle, when he was Saul of Tarsus, a Jew among Jews, a Pharisee among Pharisees, what does that mean? He was pretty high on the totem pole. He was known, well known, educated by Gamaliel. He was not a member of the Sanhedrin. He wasn't married. But he hung out with those guys, the Supreme Court of the land. He was a man of high education, high renown, which would probably mean, and I try to put this in a little bit more common day terms, you know, that position he probably did not want for anything physically, materially. He probably did have the 401k and savings account and retirement home and condo in Caesarea. But now he becomes a Christian. He's out of a job. He's out of work. I doubt very seriously that the Jews continued to send him a monthly check. They try to kill him. They hate him. Now, when you think about this man and his dedication, oh, he made an about face. There is no doubt. Being a Jew and persecuting the Christians, I mean, he was gung-ho all the way. No question about which way he was leaning. When he became a Christian, he gave it all up. Everything. That's what he said. Simply because he came to know Jesus Christ. And everything that he gave up, he considered it rubbish. Wasn't worth anything. I have through the years, and my guess is you have as well, met someone who decided to know Jesus and become a child of God. And their family completely disowned them. They don't have any family now. Physical family. Oh, they do. They're still alive. But because this person has become a Christian, then this person has just been cut off. I just wonder if we understand that true commitment to the service of Jesus Christ, this is what it has to do with. Even if you have to suffer the loss of every single thing, that is no big deal. Because you're going to serve the Lord. So if I'm a Christian and I'm that dedicated, then my job, things, stuff, is not going to get in my way. Because I don't consider that worth anything anyway. And don't misunderstand, it's not wrong to have a boat, and it's not wrong to have a car, and it's not wrong to have a TV, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, let me tell you what's wrong with those things. When you place those things above your service to Jesus Christ. So being totally dedicated to his service is another way of saying keep seeking things above where Christ is. It's commitment. I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Not only are we, if we're totally dedicated and committed to Jesus Christ, not only are we willing to give up all the stuff, we're willing to give up self. I'm impressed with, I mentioned to you that we're studying the Gospel of John on Wednesday nights in Anderson. And each time you study through the Gospels, You can't help but see, even when the apostles seemingly at times did not have a clue, at times they just didn't seem to be on the same page with the Lord. Well, let me tell you, don't you ever sell those guys short. I mean, they left it all. Peter said that in John 6. It said, Lord, we left everything. To whom shall we go? You see, Paul is that kind of man that he not only gave up everything, but he gave himself totally to the service of Jesus Christ. I just want to illustrate this way, and I hope it means something to you. Through the years, I know that the elders where I've preached, we get letters of men that want to preach the gospel. And sometimes it's worded this way. We want to go to XYZ place and we want to be able to preach the gospel. But we can't go there and preach the gospel unless we have XYZ funds. Now I understand that the gospel teaches that a man that proclaims the gospel, he can live by that gospel. Be supported. But I have to say to you just a little bit from the preacher side of the fence, I'm a little bit concerned about a guy that's not going to go preach because he can't get the money. You know, if you're going to preach the gospel whether you get the money or not, somewhere. You might not be able to go to that place, or you can't afford to go overseas or this or that. But I'm saying, if you're dedicated to the service, you're going to preach the gospel. There is that fire that is within that you have to speak it. An old preacher said, he said that many to others, I'm sure, that, you know, if possible, If you can get by without being a preacher and do something else, then do something else. But if you just cannot do anything else but preach, then go for it. Preach. What's the difference? Dedication. Commitment. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer me that lives. He gave himself totally to the service of Christ. Does that even begin to speak of us? Does that even have any resemblance to us? And I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. Being a Christian maybe could be summed up in this way. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I've talked a lot about my grandsons. When you all preach, y'all can talk about y'all's grandsons. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. Little kids have to learn to share. It's sometimes difficult for little kids to understand giving. My oldest grandson, he outgrew his little bitty bicycle training wheel bike. And my son-in-law, he is quite frugal. He found this brand new bike somewhere for just dirt cheap. It's a bit bigger bike. So he bought it. And it's not my oldest grandson's birthday or anything. He brings this bicycle home. And he says, here, Austin, here is your new bicycle for you to ride. The third one, he's just a baby. He don't know nothing. All right? But the middle one, he's standing there and he's looking at this brand new bicycle. Now, my daughter has already prepared herself because she's expecting him to go bonkers about the fact that he didn't get a bicycle. So he says nothing. Surprising. He says absolutely nothing. In fact, he is happy that Austin got a new bicycle. He doesn't know that he's getting Austin's old bicycle. They hadn't got to that point yet in the transition, right? But I was just so proud of that little fella. He just stands there and he's just as happy for Austin as he possibly can be. And then when they tell him he gets Austin's old bicycle, he's beside himself. He's like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. He didn't say that because, and he might have said that, but nobody understands what he says anyway. But anyway, he speaks a foreign language. But, so I was kind of impressed by that. But, you know, that's kind of, I think, unique sometimes with kids. The concept of giving to others. Let me tell you, being totally dedicated to the service of Jesus Christ is about others. It's about others. The church has reached a maturity level when each and every member understands that this gathering together ain't about me. When any brother or sister in Christ is a member of a local body and it's all about me, there are problems. We understand it's about others. It's about edifying others. It's about helping others. That brings us to a different level. We're not selfish. We're selfless. And I see that when I read this passage. Paul didn't care how much he had to spend to help other people. He was going to give it all he got. He's going to give all he had. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. Another aspect of this being totally committed is being willing to never be ashamed of the gospel. Now, I think that we have great intentions, and when we gather together as God's people, when we meet and we're singing songs, we are very bold. We sing out loud. We amen the prayers, and within these walls we're just strong. Then we go out in the real world and we kind of wimp out. And we may be a little bit afraid or a little bit reluctant to let people know what God says, what He says about something. How many times at work? How many times in where you are, wherever it may be, subjects, topics, things, conversation comes up, and we want to say something? Oh man, we're just biting at the bit to say something, but we're afraid to say something. I'm going to tell you what. When Paul came, this is an example. When Paul came into Athens, and the text says, when he saw all of the idols, and all that there was there, The King James Version, I think, if I remember correctly, the King James Version says, his spirit stirred within him. What does that mean? That means he got pretty upset. I mean, it incited him when he saw that. In what way? You think he was happy to see all that? No. I don't think he was. Was he angry about all of that? Probably so. So here's what Paul did. He took out an Uzi and he had several clips and he just started mowing everybody down. Bunch of heathens. No. What did he do? What he saw provoked him to teach them the gospel. And he was not afraid. He was not intimidated. He was not ashamed. He took the gospel into a place where this God whom he served was unknown. Let me tell you. You want to talk to some people where our God is unknown? You probably don't have to go but a mile or two away from this building. And you can find people who don't know our God. So what do we say? What do we do? I'm encouraging our people at Anderson. We get these little, there's lots of different means and ways to do this, but just as kind of one of the ways we chose, you see these little bookmarkers that's got like the plan of salvation on it, and you got some that's got some other lessons about the church or worship and things like that. And I've asked them, okay, just get you three or four of those, stick them in your Bibles, and you're all the time seeing people, talking to people. And the least little bit of an opportunity that, you know, sometimes you just got to be a bulldozer and just make the path, and just make an opportunity to talk to somebody, to take the opportunity to answer a question, or to have a follow-up, and it's not that you have to stand there for 45 minutes preaching a sermon. Sometimes it might be just as simple and easy as asking a question, handing them a bookmarker, and making sure your name and phone number is on the back. I mean, there's lots of things we can do. But I'm going to tell you something. Spell it however you want to spell it. Cut it however you want to cut it. Here's the bottom line. If we were not ashamed of the gospel, we would do a lot better job of teaching the lost than we're doing now. Can I have an amen on that? So whatever it takes, if we're totally committed to the service of Jesus Christ, does he want us to be quiet? No. If we're not ashamed, then speak up. We don't have to be obnoxious. We do need to speak up. Do all things through him who strengthens me. Wow, what a powerful thing. We must be willing to have complete confidence in God's help. The first time that I really appreciated this passage, I just started preaching back right after the Civil War, and there was this man who was a member of the congregation, and he was sick with cancer. He got to the point where he couldn't come to services. And I went to visit him. And I was so young, so immature myself. I didn't know what to say to him. I didn't know how to help him. And through my reading of the Bible, this passage, I thought, you know, maybe that would be a good thing just to introduce him to. And I'm sure you already knew the verse. But I stood by his bedside and I said, Brother Glass, you love a God that cares for you. He sent his son to die for you. He loves you a lot. You need to be praying to your God for healing, for comfort. And that you can get through this. Understand that God may say, no. And you may die. You remember that you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. I didn't know what else to say to him. I would pray with him, and I would pray what I suggested to him he should pray. I came back another time. He was progressively getting worse. I talked to Sister Glass, and she said, did you say something to him about Philippians 4:13? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I'll be in another part of the house, and she said, I will hear him screaming that verse. Screaming. He was in so much pain, so much agony. He was screaming that verse. That broke my heart. He was suffering so badly. I've never been in a situation like that. Paul was in prison. Facing death. I don't know that he screamed it when he wrote it or had it written. But screaming it is appropriate. So is saying it so quietly and silently. Because either way, God hears it. We see that the passage is for us. When you are totally committed to the service of Jesus Christ, you have a confidence in God. You have an assurance with God that he's going to be there to help. if he doesn't take away the pain, if he doesn't take away the disease, sometimes the answer is he enables us to just to deal with it and to handle it. I know all of us have or have had at some point in time a loved one or someone close to us. Sometimes words are just so difficult. I must be willing to have complete confidence in God's help. I have learned to say, at such times, trust in God who will do His best. And I pray for God to do His best. Therefore, you have to know the benefit of suffering. We talked a little bit about that last night. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. Suffering makes us strong. We talked about that. But again, this is an element of a maturity level to where we are a complete, totally committed servant of Jesus Christ. We don't whine and gripe and complain about what we're suffering. We use those sufferings to make us stronger, to make us better and closer to God. We get past that. We move past that. Suffering is something to gripe about. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We must be determined to get to heaven. Now, if I remember correctly, I've been gone about 10 years. I don't think it has changed. Is Alabama still kind of a football state? Is that kind of the deal? Has it changed? I didn't think it had. Anyway. Well, you know, any good football team, and you all probably know the University of Kentucky always has these kinds of teams. They have this guy in the backfield that, you know, is like 7'3" and 425 pounds and arms about this big around. And he's the guy that carries the ball. Right? And you know what's interesting about that guy? He runs with the ball and these giants come running at him about 150 miles an hour and they go bam and bam and bam and bam. Hit him and hit him and hit him and he twists and he turns and his helmet caves in and his face mask ripped off and you know, and you know what he's done? He still got a hold of the ball, hopefully. He still got a hold of the ball and when it's all done and when the smoke clears, he's always pointing toward the goal and right at the very end when he finally hits the ground, he takes the ball and he goes, one more little effort to get one more yard, right? A real good running back, that's what he does. You see what Paul said? He could have played running back for Alabama. He could have played running back for Auburn. Because he had the mindset of what and where the goal was. And someone that is totally committed to the service of Jesus Christ knows that. He understands that. And there is nothing that's going to hit you. There's nothing that's going to come up to keep you from going where you're going. You're set on that. Can't you just imagine in heaven? When we sit down in that beautiful place and we get our turn to talk to the Apostle Paul and we're going to sit down and talk to him for 10,000 years or something. And we sit down and we're going to talk to him a little bit and we start swapping stories. And Paul, you know, starts telling about, you know, his shipwrecks. He starts talking about, you know, the times he was beaten and scourged and the number of times that he was imprisoned and so forth. And then he looks over at us and he says, what'd you ever run across? What, you know what, Paul, one day, one of our sisters there at church, she came up, you know, I preached a really good sermon, and she hurt my feelings what she said about my sermon. What? Now, does that compare to what Paul went through? I don't think so. And just so you know, I ain't going to tell that story to Paul. I ain't going to tell him that story. Why? You know, when you're totally dedicated to the service of Jesus Christ, you're willing to suffer shipwreck, flogged, beaten, thrown into prison. But you're still pointing toward the goal. And you don't care how many times you get tackled, you're going to score. That's commitment. That's what keep seeking the things above me. I've fought the good fight, I've finished the course, and I've kept the faith. I've said to my wife that when I die, I hope that that can be put on my tombstone. But I've also told her, still in effect, if I die today, don't do that yet. I see that passage, to me, as a preacher, as a bar, it's way up there. Here's a man who's very confident about his life. His commitment to his service. Let me ask you a very, very personal question. If you was to die right now, would you feel comfortable if we put that on your tombstone? Do you think it's telling the truth? Brother and sister in Christ, I hope and pray that we all can reach a state of maturity and so dedicated to Christ that that can be put on each of our tombstones. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. If there was ever a spiritual halftime pep talk verse, that's it. And maybe the devil has been whipping us. Maybe we've been given into the flesh. Maybe we have just been succumbing to the world and its temptations. And the devil has just whipped us up and down the street. Enough. We talk about, or you hear talked about sometimes, rededicated. Well, I think that's applicable here. To look at our own lives and to look, and what are we doing? How are we serving the Lord? Are we really what we claim to be? And I pray that all of us, very seriously, take a look at our own hearts and remember that if we're totally committed to the service of Jesus Christ, we are not those who shrink back to destruction, but we are those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. We are people that are going to serve the Lord regardless. And we are going to heaven. Are you with me? Are you going? None of this might be, I'm thinking about it, I'm hoping to. Are you going? than be totally committed to the service of Jesus Christ and keep seeking those things above. And by God's grace and mercy and loving kindness, you'll hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. If you need to obey the gospel, now's the time. If you need to make a change in your life, now's the time. Won't you come as we stand and sing?